Alabama and Tennessee, syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP here live in the Right Side Studios, covering the local, the state, the national, all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, folks, Phil had to be out today in regards to something very exciting that we will be able to tell y'all any day now about, but he will have to miss the show today. So I will be doing the first hour of today's show, and then Scott Buttram will be coming in at the second hour for the rest of the show. And it's always a fun time with Scott, so y'all make sure to stay tuned for that. But first and foremost, folks, it is Taco Tuesday.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
That's right. Speedy Gonzalez letting you know it is Taco Tuesday. And like I said, I will be starting off the first hour of today's show. I got a monologue written up for y'all. And then after the monologue, we got to talk about some foreign policy. It's been a lot going on the last several days in foreign policy land. Trump and Zelensky had another meeting on Friday that apparently was very contentious, and we're going to talk about that. But also, the Trump and Putin summit in Budapest is now off. So we're going to talk about all the latest in the Russia-Ukraine war, and then also this past weekend, the very fragile, it appears, Israel-Hamas ceasefire. It was tested, but J.D. Vance is now in the Middle East in Israel. He touched down today and is trying to hold this ceasefire together and get this across the finish line. Like I said, folks, what Hamas agreed to was the first phase of a 20-point plan, and it looks like they're going to be dragging their feet and resisting the rest of that 20-point plan, which, you know, it would bring an end to the war as a whole. So we're going to talk about all of that, and then after that, Scotty Buttram will be coming in. So we got a good show for y'all today. In the meantime, I got a monologue written up for you guys. Like I said, this monologue, as always, is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, a lawyer at the partner, the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, so I'll be talking about Stan here momentarily after I do this monologue. All right, so let me just start off by saying we've got a serious problem here in America. And I was just talking about foreign policy. The Trump administration is working around the clock trying to put out fires and fix problems globally. But there's a serious problem taking place before our eyes right here in our own backyard. And to sum it up, the problem I'm referring to is the assault on federal workers in cities like Portland and Chicago with the backing of local politicians and the cover from local police. That right there is a recipe for a disaster. And if it keeps up, it's a recipe for a civil war. I'm an optimist through and through, and I reject the notion that we are on the brink of any form of civil war. But if this trend continues, we could be walking ourselves right into one eventually. If you've seen or read the news lately, I'm sure you've seen the current scenes in Portland. Rioters are assaulting federal ICE and DHS agents in broad daylight with the support of the Portland police, the governor of Oregon, and a federal judge. With a literal war zone taking place in the streets of Portland, the National Guard was ordered to go in and shut it down, and to protect our federal agents simply there to do their job. Well, an activist judge saw this and put a block on Trump's deployment of the National Guard. That is unheard of. Thank goodness this order was thrown out by an appeals court, but we've seen this play out several times in our nation's history. Eisenhower, JFK, and LBJ are just a few examples of presidents that deployed the National Guard to enforce the federal law against defiant governors. All of these instances were applauded loudly by liberals, and not a single accusation of fascism was thrown towards any of those presidents. So why are we seeing that now? Why is it fascism for the president to exercise his right as the executive to shut down a fight against the federal government? And that's what it is. These are nihilistic agitators that have been given free rein to attack not just federal agents, but reporters, innocent bystanders, and turn the beautiful city of Portland into a scene out of Mad Max. Nick Sortor, a conservative reporter who now has to have armed security with him in Portland to just report the news, was attacked by Antifa several weeks ago, and the Portland police arrested him. Not the agitators, of course. The only conclusion from that is that the local police are on the same team as Antifa. There's actually been instances where the police have stepped aside and let Antifa block the roads and monitor who can pass through. There's footage from last night of Portland police actually standing in front of Antifa members that were shining lights in the faces of DHS agents. A DHS officer actually walked up to the police and said, "What are you doing? These guys are Antifa." Antifa, a domestic terrorist organization, by the way. And that's where we have a problem. If the Portland police is so infiltrated and unable to protect their citizens, then the federal government will have to step in and do exactly that. and you have no grounds to refuse that, Miss Activist Judge. Hey, Governor of Oregon, you actually don't have the authority to rebel against the federal government. We've already fought a civil war of that, and Trump has the legal precedent to just simply ignore you. If you're not going to do your job as governor and just let Portland turn into a degenerate city similar to Sodom and Gomorrah, then Dad will have to step in and do so. It's not only Portland, though. It's currently the worst case, but it's the same way in Chicago. Governor Pritzker has decided it would be politically advantageous to defy President Trump and give air cover for domestic terrorists in his own city of Chicago. He mocks the idea that there's any need for the National Guard while taking a stroll through the nicest parts of Chicago, conveniently avoiding the areas that are currently being affected by agitators going to war with ICE agents. These reckless idiots are trying to stoke the flames of a civil war. But I actually don't think they're even smart enough to know what they're doing. You know, just look at Pritzker, for example. Listen to him talk. Does he really strike you as someone that's impressive? These narcissistic egomaniacs in Oregon and Illinois are just simply doing what's best for them politically. They don't have to actually deal with Antifa turning their neighborhood into a war zone where they can't even walk their dog. They don't have to worry about noise being blared deliberately while they are trying to put their kids to bed because they've got school in the morning. They can sit in their ivory towers and position themselves to run for president in 2028, like Pritzker is doing. And they're so self-centered that that's all they care about. Their position as governor is not to do what's best for their constituents, it's just to use the office as a stepping stone towards their next political endeavor. And that is when it's the federal government's job to do their job for them. And here's what I would like the Trump administration to do. Go all the way. They'll be held up temporarily by lower courts like we saw in Portland, but eventually they'll be given the green light to deploy the National Guard. And when that happens, they must do whatever it takes to restore order in these cities. Completely emasculate these defiant governors and dismantle the Antifa terrorists. That's the only way to do this, because if any half measures are taken, they will use that to completely destroy our cities. And if the Democrats ever take power again, then they'll be looking for revenge. Trump needs to not only show the likes of Governor Pritzker who's boss, but Antifa has to be dismantled. We saw the first charges of domestic terrorism against two Antifa members in Texas just recently, and those need to be the first of many. Antifa terrorists who are attacking our federal workers need to be put under the jail. The DOJ needs to follow the money who's giving them access to storage facilities and giving them office buildings as headquarters. They need to be completely destroyed and given no ability to regroup. That is the only way forward as a nation. The only way forward is straight through. And if there's any folks in this administration who are pearl-clutching and saying, oh, that's too much, what about the midterms? Get with the program, people. Look at what these terrorists are doing to our ICE agents. Look at what they're doing to our beautiful cities. They've declared war against the federal government. It's your job as an administration to stop them by any means necessary. There's many problems to address globally, from Venezuela to Ukraine to Gaza, but if we can't put out the fire in our own backyard, then what's the point? No one else is going to come save us. This is how we stop a civil war from happening. Tucker Carlson did a monologue on these Portland riots recently. He put it best when he said that a civil war starts when American citizens have absolutely nothing in common with each other in different parts of America. And I think that's exactly right. But what I'm not referring to is just simple political disagreements. You know, like in Massachusetts, they believe in free healthcare and taxing the rich, where in Tennessee, they believe in God and the Second Amendment. That's not what ultimately divides us. We saw this after 9/11. We all disagreed politically, but when there was an attack on our nation, we were all united. That showed that our political disagreements never truly divided us. We were still able to come together towards a common enemy. But think about it now. You know, God forbid, if we ever had another instance like 9/11, would we truly come together like we did then? Or would groups like Antifa and the Free Palestine crowd celebrate the attack on America? Would we point our fingers at one another saying it's the other side's fault? Unfortunately, I think the latter is true. That's not the case for everyone, but the size of people as to which it is true is growing. And they're getting bolder. Because now what divides us is not just simply politics, it's our core fundamental beliefs. It's the belief in God versus nihilistic atheism. It's the nuclear family versus the hatred of family and celebration of murder via abortion. It's the reverence of Western civilization versus the desire to completely destroy it. And that's what the terrorists in Portland and Chicago are fighting for. It's an attack on what is good and worth preserving in our civilization. But did you ever imagine that these people would be given air cover from politicians like Pritzker, AOC, Schumer, Pelosi, Schiff, Booker, Jeffries, I can name them all. These morons want to see it all burn to the ground for their own gain. That's why this administration must go in and do what needs to be done. The federal government must restore order immediately. So what can you do? For one, we need to let the Trump administration do their job. Do not take it upon yourself to combat these agitators. Stay way clear of any Antifa war zones. And if one does find its way to your neck of the woods, then find somewhere else to take your family until things settle down. Let the National Guard come in and do its job. But also pray fervently and speak out. Shine a light on the issues at hand and pray for this country every day. Yet 2 days ago marked 244 years since Cornwallis has surrendered to Washington at Yorktown. The punctuation mark on the greatest revolution the world has ever seen. Where a bunch of 20-something-year-olds and they all got together and stood up for a cause and were victorious. The kickstart of the nation we all love and would die for. Don't forget the nation we have. And don't forget the need to preserve it. Because our founding fathers sacrificed so much to give us this beautiful nation. The greatest one to ever grace the earth. But Benjamin Franklin said it best when he said, or he was asked, do we have a republic or do we have a monarchy? And then he replied, a republic, if you can keep it. And keep it, we must. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Away. Yeah, like I said, folks, if you haven't seen, just take a look at what's going on right now in Portland. It is complete insanity. And the federal government has to go in and restore order immediately, because if they don't, if they're unsuccessful, take any half measures and don't do what needs to be done, it's only going to get worse. And then, God forbid, if the Democrats regroup, they're just going to use it to get revenge on us. So we have to handle this issue in our own backyard. This is JP here, filling in for Phil today on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is JP here, filling in for Phil today on Right Side Radio, covering the local, the state, the national, all the issues. It's always solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I got some texts coming in from you guys, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. But first, I got to tell you guys about Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald sponsors the Right Side Wave monologue every single day, and he is a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama. Not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs, but he is an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to our Right Side ruffian community. And like we like to say, when you have Stan on your side, there's no greater friend, and your adversaries will have no greater foe. So Stan McDonald, I'm going to give you all his phone number, 256-533-0202. That's Stan McDonald at Wilmer and Lee, 256-533-0202. And when you call him, make sure you tell him that you heard it on Right Side Radio. All right, you guys, let's get some text messages here. We got Dave from Capshaw saying, economic quote of the day from Adam Smith. There is no art which government sooner learns of another than that of draining money from the pockets of the people. Amen to that, unfortunately. We got Pastor Dave from Indiana said, what happened to the boomers? That seemed to be the majority of people I've seen during the No King protest. I thought that generation had more common sense than that. There's good boomers. It's a fringe sect of very miserable, unhappy boomers, I would say, that were at these No King protests. And I feel bad for them, you know, because obviously that they don't have a fulfilling life of their own to go to outside of, you know, going to a Hate America protest on a Saturday. You know, they didn't have any T-ball games or grandkid stuff to do on those days, obviously. So I feel bad for them, but it's not all the boomers, I promise. We got Allie from Athens said, well done and well said, JP. I appreciate that. I particularly like the fact that you reminded us that the founding fathers on average were 27 years old. Yeah, that is true. It's a bunch of young men that decided to stick up for something and put their neck on the line like that and start literally the greatest nation ever. It's pretty remarkable. 244 years, by the way, 2 days ago, like I said, when Yorktown was surrendered to George Washington. It's pretty remarkable. So yeah, I think it's important to always remember that. Tom with all the kids from Huntsville said, paraphrasing here, but Billy Graham said something to the effect of, show me where you spend your time and your money, and I'll know where your heart is. We already know where their hearts are. We need to start taking away their time and their money. If Trump can stop the funding and actually put some of them away, that'll help tremendously. I agree. And you know, there's been several great people that have done like a follow the money segments on their shows about where this Antifa money appears to be coming from. And you know, you just don't organically get storage units and office buildings for, you know, headquarters for your protest. That's not something that just kind of happens on its own. I think there's some people behind the screens helping them funding wise and pulling strings for them. So I agree. I mean, it's just like terrorists in the Middle East, you know, like Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, their source of funding has always been Iran. So when Iran is weak, then they are weak. And we've seen that lately. So I think you cut off the source of the funding with the domestic terrorists like Antifa, and I think you'll see a same result. Jeff from Indiana texted in and said, JP, these insurrectionist judges need to be taken off the bench. Just like someone in the military cannot obey an unlawful order, why does the president have to obey an unlawful order from a judge when has no basis in law to stop him? Well, thank goodness this ridiculous ban from the National Guard going to Portland was overruled by an appeals court. So although these activist judges, they're being nuisances and they're getting away, they're being roadblocks, most of these ridiculous orders are being overturned by a higher appeals court. So for the most part, besides these lower level judges, these activist judges, the appeals court across the nation have been doing their job for the most part, and the Supreme Court as well. So like I said, all these are being roadblocks and nuisances. I think the system as a whole is still acting like it's supposed to, and these unlawful orders are being overruled. So we'll have to see. There's still a lot of stuff like tariffs that have made its way up to the Supreme Court and will be ruled upon soon. But for the most part, like I said, these outrageous orders are being overruled. John from Huntsville said, JP, spectacular monologue. I appreciate that. So also, did you see that the Blue Jays beat the Mariners last night? I did. To advance to the World Series, and now we'll face the Dodgers. Looks like it's going to be Canada versus USA World Series championship title. I'm going to have to go for Canada on this one because I do not want the Dodgers to win back-to-back. I just tell you that. I can think of a lot of things I'd rather see than the Dodgers win back-to-back World Series. Jack from Huntsville texting in said, many have bemoaned the younger generation over the years. I have always said that it is my generation, parentheses boomers, that raised them. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. There's great boomers out there. So it's, I wouldn't let the fringe sect of them that are out being miserable at these No King protests, put a, you know, across the board on these baby boomers. But unfortunately, I agree. That does seem to be the main demographic at these No King protests, miserable older boomers. So we'll have to see if there's any more of those that come around the No King protests. But we're going to take a quick time out here, folks. And on the other side, I'm going to talk to you all about some foreign policy, the newest information there with Ukraine and in Israel. A lot of stuff happening and a lot of stuff going good, a lot of stuff going bad. So we're going to break it all down for you on the other side here. This is JP here, filling in for Phil on Right Side Radio today. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is JP here, filling in for Phil today on Right Side Radio, where it's always solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, folks, Phil had to be out today in regards to something that we are looking forward to telling y'all about any day now. But in the meantime, it is still top secret. But he's off doing some cool stuff today. But in the meantime, I'll be finishing out this hour, and then Scott Buttram will be coming in hour number two for the rest of the show in the studio. So make sure to stay tuned for that. And appreciate y'all texting in 833-687-4448. Keep texting in your thoughts. I'm going to go ahead and dive into some content here, though. So it's been a big last couple of days in the foreign policy land. We saw the ceasefire against Israel and Hamas last week. But this past weekend, it looks like that ceasefire was really put to the test when there was some combat action in Gaza between Hamas and Israel. But also, we've got some big stuff going on in terms of Russia and Ukraine. Not looking too optimistic, though. I'm going to have to be honest with you guys here. So we're going to cover the Ukraine-Russia stuff first, since a lot has happened even today in regards to that. So Trump and Zelensky met this past Friday in the Oval Office, trying to come together and talk about a ceasefire and that war. Trump also had a phone call with Putin last week before this meeting with Zelensky. And everybody remembers the contentious meeting in front of everyone, in front of the press in the Oval Office, where, you know, Trump was shouting at Zelensky and J.D. Vance was saying, you know, have you said thank you once? So it's everybody saw that. But this one was behind closed doors. And apparently, from reporting, it looks like this meeting did not go too well either. So we've had several reports from the Financial Times, the New York Times, Washington Post, and others. But the main summary from this meeting, apparently, it was very contentious. Trump claimed that Putin is going to destroy Ukraine if they did not take the deal. And apparently, Trump was just saying what Putin had told him in the phone call the day before. And he claimed that Russia's economy was doing well. Zelensky needs to take the deal provided. And Trump was weighing before the meeting, you know, giving Ukraine Tomahawk missiles, but ultimately declined to do so. And Trump and his administration are currently working very hard to get a ceasefire in this deal before ultimately coming up with a long-term deal to end the war completely. And according to the Financial Times, Trump several times in the meeting threw aside maps of the current lines that were shown to him, said he was tired of hearing about the front lines and just wanted to bring an end to this war. This war has got some teeth to it, folks. And I'll be honest with you. You know, the Israel-Hamas war was, it also had a lot of teeth to it, but this one has been tied up into a knot that I think is pretty dang hard to untie. And you can thank the Biden administration for that one. You can thank Joe Biden. You can thank Anthony Blinken. You can thank John Kirby and the complete disaster, the complete disaster. One of the worst foreign policy disasters in American history, I think, with how they handled this Russia-Ukrainian war, because there was no off-ramp. There was no long-term thinking. It was simply fund Ukraine as much as they want, blank check, and continue to provoke Russia and get us into a cold war with Russia via proxy of Ukraine. And that was the plan. And do not talk to Putin. Putin bad. Russia bad. Don't talk to them. And we will just continue to fund them and hope that Ukraine can pull something off and beat them, which has effectively brought a stalemate in Europe. One of the worst ones since World War II. Probably the worst one since World War II. And it's just been a meat grinder. Ukraine has been a complete and total meat grinder for both sides. And there were several opportunities. You know, towards the beginning of the war, Ukraine really pushed back Russia after their initial advancement. And that was the time, you know, Ukraine had leverage. Ukraine was in a position where they could actually negotiate. And that was the time for the Biden administration to come in and negotiate an end to the war. And there actually was a ceasefire and end to the war brought up, and they were going to have a summit about it. Boris Johnson then goes over there on the behest of the Biden administration and shuts down this deal. Then going on for now, what, 3 years or 2 years, 3 years of a complete and total meat grinder in Europe. So Trump is now in the position of trying to untie this knot that the Biden administration tied. And it is a very, very hard thing to do with this war in particular, because with the meat grinder that it is, Russia has way more people that they can push through this meat grinder, okay? Even with the stalemate in Ukraine holding the line against Russia, if it's a war of attrition and it's a war of just simply putting their own men through the meat grinder, Russia has got more men to do that with. And ultimately, I believe time is on Russia's side in this situation, because, like I said, with Ukraine's success that they've had in holding up Russia, it can only happen for so long. There's only so many people in Ukraine for them to do that. So the best thing for Ukraine, the best thing for America, is to put an end to this, okay? And I hate to say that. You know, this is not Trump's fault. This is not Trump's fault that this war has gotten to where it is. It is his job to end it, though, and he's trying his hardest to do that. Unfortunately, I don't see a way to bring the end to this war without Russia getting some land in this, okay? Because with the lines where they draw now, Russia is in control of majority, if not all, of the Donbass. And apparently that is what Putin wants in exchange to an end of the war. Putin is asking for Donetsk to be Russia now, and Donetsk is a major city in the eastern region of Ukraine, considered the Donbass, a very high mineral-rich territory, which is a major reason why Russia wants this, obviously, is for the minerals there. And Putin is willing to give up areas in Zaporizhzhia, I believe that's how you pronounce it, and Kherson, for full surrender of Donetsk. And those are two territories that Russia has not even been able to hold. So they made some pushes for it, but ultimately Ukraine has pushed them back from Zaporizhzhia and Kherson. So Putin is willing to give that up if Ukraine gives up Donetsk. However, on the other side, it looks like Ukraine and Zelensky are not willing to give up any territory. That is a red line for them. They're not giving up any territory in this to end the war. They feel it's not right, because obviously Putin and Russia started the war. Why should they have to give up territory? Which I fully understand and I get, okay? But if Ukraine's not able to push Russia back out of this territory, it's just one of those things. I mean, I don't know how else to end this war, because Putin has set his demands, and I think he's got more people to just... He can play this game longer, unfortunately, I think, in this war in Ukraine of a stalemate meat grinder. So I think it would behoove Zelensky and Ukraine to, compromise a little bit here. However much it hurts, you got to put an end to this war. And that is what's best for America, putting an end to this war, because this war has done nothing but continue to drive a wedge between the West and Russia, and America and Russia primarily. And that's not good for America to, we're not going to be allies with Russia, obviously, but I don't think it is the best policy to continue to put us at odds with Russia even more. So I think the best situation, put an end to the killing, you know, I don't see a situation of that happening without Ukraine having to give up some land. But Putin also was supposed to eventually have a summit with Trump in Budapest and to talk about a ceasefire or an end to the war. But apparently Marco Rubio and Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov had a phone call today, and Lavrov relayed to him that nothing has changed since the Alaska summit. Russia is not going to have a ceasefire. If they're going to bring an end to the war, they're going to bring an end to the war completely. So after that, there's no more summit in Budapest soon. So that seems a little bit it's not looking great, in my opinion, if they're not having a summit. But we'll see. There's still a lot more time. There's still a lot more, you know, negotiating to do. But that is where the Ukraine and Russia situation currently stands. That the summit in Budapest being off is news as of today after Rubio and Lavrov's phone call. And on the other side, though, we go to Israel. J.D. Vance has touched down in Israel today. Why is that? Because there was a lot of fighting in Israel in Gaza, I should say, this past weekend. There's accusations from both sides that Hamas is saying Israel violated the ceasefire, Israel saying Hamas violated the ceasefire. But the main consensus is that there was an incident where two IDF soldiers were killed in Gaza by what appears to be rogue Hamas militants. And then Israel proceeded to shut off the aid that was passing through the Rafah crossing and bombarded several Hamas holdings in Gaza, and is now saying that, they're going to punish Hamas whenever they break a ceasefire, and they want to hold this ceasefire. But when incidents like this happen, Israel is going to hold them responsible. But currently, as of now, the aid has been put on hold through the Rafah crossing. If you guys remember, part of the ceasefire agreement was that Hamas would transfer over the hostages and Israel would transfer over prisoners that they had, and aid would be allowed into Gaza while the ceasefire was taking place. But now, during this bombardment and after this incident, the aid has been stopped, which is awful for the Palestinians. But also, Hamas is still trying to dig up and find the bodies of several hostages. They're claiming that they're going to need to be excavated and they're going to have to find them. So Hamas still has not gotten Israel all of the hostages alive and deceased yet. So until that happens, it's phase one of the ceasefire is still not going to be considered, complete. But after this incident this past weekend, J.D. Vance touched down along with Jared Kushner, and I believe Steve Witkoff was there as well, in Israel to try to hold this ceasefire together, hold this truce together. And it's right as of now, like I said, there's several issues in this, because Gaza, a lot of Palestinians in Gaza do not have internet. So there's been apparently several instances of Palestinians driving into restricted areas. They weren't sure which areas were restricted or not. There was a lot of confusion amongst the Palestinians who were now coming back into Gaza after they fled south during the war. Now that they've come back in, there's been some confusion about where the restricted lines are. It's been suspicious cars, like I said, that the IDF has had to confront. And then instances like this. Even Trump himself said he does not believe that Hamas leadership directed militants to attack and kill these IDF soldiers. He believes that these were rogue militants because, as you can probably conclude, a lot of Hamas who simply want Israel wiped off the face of the earth, we're not too happy about the ceasefire, and they just want to destroy Israel. So there's probably a lot of rogue militants who were just wanting to kill IDF soldiers as they saw them, and to heck with the ceasefire. And it's unfortunate situation. But J.D. Vance is over there trying to talk to both sides, let cooler heads prevail, and hopefully soon we can see the aid brought back into Gaza, and we can see the fighting from both sides to stop. Hostages, the dead bodies can be brought back, and then we can move on with the ceasefire. But this is the Middle East, folks. This is the Middle East wrapped into one story, because even with a ceasefire, there was a lot of people very cautious that this is going to hold. And it looks like this lasted maybe a week. The ceasefire is still technically being held to largely, but it's on thin ice. I'll just say that. The ceasefire is on thin ice because both sides are now having flare-ups. But hopefully, like I said, this can be brought to a hold and the fight can stop and the ceasefire can move on, and then hopefully bring a truce where Hamas demilitarizes, leaves Gaza. They've already made clear that they're not going to lay down their arms and leave Gaza. So as we predicted, that Hamas was going to have an issue with that, which is a fundamental part of this truce, the 20 plan, peace plan. Hamas cannot have any arms, and Hamas, if they're going to be in Gaza, has to lay down their arms. So unless that happens, it's going to be hard to see an end to the war other than this ceasefire. But more to come, but that is the latest in foreign policy land. We're going to take a quick time out here. Come to the other side and read some of y'all's texts, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me know your thoughts on the discussion here, and we'll be right back. And we are back. This is JP here, filling in for Phil today on Right Side Radio, where it's always solid conservative and just plain right. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. Text us in your thoughts. Scotty Buttram will be coming in at the top of the hour next segment to be in studio the rest of the show. Phil is off today. He was not able to be in studio for the show, but he will be back tomorrow. So y'all make sure to stay tuned for that. We got Connor from Huntsville here on the text line. Said, hey, JP, Connor from Huntsville. I think a lot of these boomers at the No Kings rallies are just left over from the Woodstock generation, and the reason they hate Trump so much is they've been on a quest for 50 years, at least 60 years, some, to remake the United States, and they see one man who's able to, and hopefully this next 4 years plus what he did the previous four absolutely overturned so many of their games, and it just infuriates them beyond reason. Well, man, you know, that's y'all's generation, so, you know, you may be speaking it better than myself, but I think that is true. I think the sect of these baby boomers that were at the No King rally, I think you're correct, and, you know, the Woodstock generation, the folks who, the hippie generation maybe, I guess they never outgrew that, and they're still, you know, miserable, and they didn't pass on any wisdom to their kids or grandkids if they even have any. So I think that's largely correct. But I feel bad for them. It's the demographic at any pictures you've seen has been the miserable boomer type. So you may be correct there. Sandy from Harvest says, I really enjoy it when you do the show, JP. Great job. Appreciate you, Sandy. And by the way, folks, to finish out the hour here, I just thought it'd be funny. Have y'all seen who's been making the rounds lately? It's been Karine Jean-Pierre, the gaslighter-in-chief. The former press secretary under the Biden administration has been making the rounds, saying some crazy stuff. Well, first, she claimed that Biden is giving more press than President Trump is right now. She's claiming that President Biden spoke to the American people even more than Trump is right now. She also is saying, you know, she never saw any sign of cognitive decline with Joe Biden, and, you know, he was always on his A game. Does she know she doesn't have to keep lying? Does she know that she's no longer on the payroll? She can just, you know, she can tell the truth. But I believe she's making the rounds right now. She has a book coming out. It's called Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House. Okay, that's kind of like the pot calling kettle black here, because Karine Jean-Pierre was at the tip top of the list of people that were contributing to a broken White House, and now she's wanting to make the rounds and, you know, I guess cover her tracks and say that, you know, it wasn't on her, she was just there, you know, doing her job. It's pretty crazy to see, you know, and she was even on Stephen Colbert last night, where even Stephen Colbert, of all people, kind of had to press her a little bit about, you know, saying what he saw was a cognitive decline under Biden, and it wasn't a conspiracy. It was visible, and that's why the Democratic Party had a coup and ousted Joe Biden and then had Kamala Harris come in. So even Stephen Colbert is holding Karine Jean-Pierre's feet to the fire. But it's funny because while she's making the rounds talking about a broken White House, she's then also saying that there was nothing wrong with the White House and that Joe Biden was always on his A game. So it's kind of hard to see which one it is. But like I said, she's no longer on the payroll. She can now just go off into shame and, you know, write her book and, you know, get her paycheck. But she no longer has to lie for Joe Biden. So I don't know if she's gotten that memo yet, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see if her book does well. Maybe she can join Kamala Harris on The View. I think that's the only job that she's going to have left. But Scotty Buttram actually just came into the studio. Do you want to go ahead and join in, Scott? We got about a minute left in the segment here.
I'm live now.
You are live now.
I'm trying to get situated over here and get some headphones on as well.
All good.
I was actually sitting in the parking lot listening to Megyn Kelly.
Were you?
Go off on that very subject. This, she had about a 14-minute piece, so I didn't have time to listen to all of it. But Evidently, KJP went on Joe Scarborough this morning.
Did she?
And in the middle of the interview, started claiming, when she refers to the broken White House, she's talking about the current White House.
Oh, wow.
Megyn Kelly went off on her. Everybody should find that clip.
That is crazy. Yeah, right. The current Trump administration is the broken White House. And she also claimed that Biden spoke to the press more than Trump does.
But the title of the book is An Inside Look. Mm-hmm. She's certainly not an insider to the Trump White House. Come on.
She's an outsider look.
You know, we watched that pathological liar for, what, 2 years?
At least, yes.
The book should be no surprise.
Exactly. Jeff from Indiana just texted in and said, JP, I'm wondering who's more in cognitive decline, Joe Biden or his press secretary?
That's a good question. Joe Biden's was unintentional. His was medical. Hers is the girl's committed to a lie like nobody I've ever seen.
It's unbelievable. But who knows? She'd fit right in on The View if they want to take her in.
She would.
Well, we got about 30 seconds here, folks, and we'll be right back from this break. And Scotty Buttram will be in studio the rest of the show. And always a fun time with Scott, so y'all make sure to stay tuned. 833-687-4448. That is the text line or the call-in number. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all let us know your thoughts here. Phil is out today, but he will be back tomorrow. So Scotty and I will have the show in the meantime. But we're going to take a quick time out, like I said. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.